game so sharp, I might cut myself. You hating on a boy? Hush, thyself. I'm on my own job, cause I love thyself.
Oh man, we gotta listen to that. With that, God, R.I.P. Mac Dre. Woo, the party, yeah, ease in the fierce place. All right, sorry for our sudden abruptness. We just felt it was necessary. Here you go, Bushy. To come in with that amount of energy.
Yes.
Ooh, let me catch my breath. Oh. Hyped as hell, huh?
That was the most active I've had.
Okay.
I'm back. Oh, I'm hot.
Before we begin, I must disclose that this content is not suitable for the children or youth under the age of 17 without adult supervision. So if you could please go ahead and take the kids out of the room or turn this off and listen to it at a better time. Give you a few seconds. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to aisle 7. My name is Savage and this is my wife,
Liti.
We are in the Cove right now, our home base of operations. And this is Beach Talk for the Long Walk. Well, episode 3.
Let's go, man.
We're rolling smooth.
Let's go, man.
Okay. We would like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, for the free distribution of our podcast. We don't take that lightly. Go ahead and download the Anchor app and look us up at Aisle 7, the podcast. It's all about self-progress. Today's episode is dedicated to my auntie and her beautiful life, which we will celebrate. You know, Aho Folau Watafe Latu. Auntie, I want to tell you I love you. My prayers and condolences to the family. But I'm glad you are resting now with our Heavenly Father,
yes.
Jah the Almighty. Yes, I, who believes in I. And, you know, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I just want to say that you guys are in our prayers. I just want to tell the whole Watafe side, you know, some of y'all I grew up with in Tonga along the way as I was growing up. But I just want to tell you guys that, you know, you guys are in our prayers, on our thoughts. And I just want to tell my whole in-law, in love.
Shout out to La Paja.
That I love you guys, and we'll get through this. So,
thank you for that. That was meaningful. our thought of the day. When was the last time you bared your emotions to a loved one? When was the last time you bared your emotions to a loved one? I think the important thing about being transparent about your feelings is that you bear it to the one it matters to the most, right? You don't go outside of your circle to tell other people how much you love that person. You tell the person to their face because, you know, you just don't want to wait till when it's too late to say something. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, for me personally, I've had that situation sometimes or a couple times in my life, and I missed out because I was too stubborn or too prideful to just say, I love you. And, you know, that could have mended the relationship or possibly helped us to grow. So when was the last time you bared your emotions to a loved one? Yeah, I mean, it's plain and simple. Don't wait till it's too late. You know what I'm saying? Go and tell that person that you love how much you love them before it's too late. Our song of the day. Let's get pushing towards that. Our song of the day. As soon as this loads, is she okay?
Yeah, she's all okay. Right.
Our song of the day comes by way of Marcus Houston, Favorite Girl Remix. Ooh. This was released in 2007. I don't know where you were at when this came out, but it's pretty significant for me and my wife. So as soon as this damn commercial, we're going to reminisce. So 2007, what were you doing?
2007. Oh, man, I was in high school.
All those emotions just and memories, right?
Man! This song.
You know who this song reminds me of? My boy Josh.
Josh the Prophet.
Josh the Prophet. He was always dancing to this. And shout out to Marcus Houston, man. It's the memories.
They look alike.
Out again. Man. Drinking Jamba Juice. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Marcus Houston, Favorite Girl remix that came out 2007. Tag us in a video on Instagram of you vibing to that at @I'll_7_thepodcast. And yeah, man, show us something good. Our number of the day is the number one. Ooh. Wherever you are, when you come across the number one, dwell in the moment. Mm-hmm. See what's significant about it. Our color of the day. Would you like to go ahead and read that?
Color of the day is white.
If you see it, say it. White.
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 Okay. Carrying along. That was our color of the day. Our person of the day comes by way of Lucky Dubé. Lucky Dubé, a reggae artist and freedom fighter and advocate for peace since the 1980s, hailing from South Africa. My uncle, who I deem the king of reggae, put me up on reggae. And shout out to you, Uncle. Uncle Leahy, I love you very much. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know who Lucky Dubé is. So go ahead and do your research on him. Yep. Lucky Dubé, once again. And I hope you learned something very valuable from him. Our quote of the day, would you like to read that?
Yeah. War doesn't determine who is right, but only who is left.
Yeah. And that comes by way spoken of Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell, yes, he said, war doesn't determine who is right, but only who is left. And I think that's pretty significant in just itself, because sometimes when we fight, it's not about who is right. It's like, well, who are we left to argue with? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So that can transcend many meanings. But yeah. Bertrand Russell. Our goal of the week: drink water morning, noon, and night. Mm. Our goal of the week is to drink water morning, noon, and night. Our congratulations that we'd like to send out is to the company Thug Drip.
Yes.
Thug Drip, an Otai business out of California, owned and operated by Pacific Islanders.
Yes.
My brown people, Ofalahiatu. That's so beautiful to see our people doing their own business and making money for themselves. And yeah, man, I just hope and wish we pray the best to you guys with your entrepreneurship with that. So,
yes.
Thug
yes.
Drip. Go ahead and check them out on Instagram and get you some Otai before the summer's over.
It's the right time, too, to get it.
It's hot, man. I like me some mango.
Otai is a drink with watermelon,
mango,
mainly,
there's apple.
Other fruits, but
you
it's
can mix
really
it,
good.
Too. Yeah. Our workout tip: walk or jog a mile.
We've been doing that.
Walk or jog a mile. Just that simple. So that's our walk or jog a mile. Today's PI scene, we have no one to feature, so if there's anybody out there we might have missed, go ahead and hit us up for the next episode. We'd like to feature you. It's important for us to feature our own people who look like us, talk like us, and come from where we come from, so that people out there in our community can see this and be inspired.
Yeah.
So no PI scene today. You have an opening statement?
Opening statement. Not really, to be honest.
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah. Yes, I do have an opening statement. So, gentlemen, to my guys, the men, the boys out there, try powder. Try powder between the legs. You want to stay fresh. You want to feel fresh. As much as she's laughing about it and smell good, try powder between the legs. Talcum powder, baby powder. Try all the powders. So that's my opening statement.
Sorry about that.
Can you shut him up?
Yeah.
It's not like I'm shooting a podcast. You know what I'm saying? Aisle 7 the podcast, and you got your kids interrupting me. Do you want me to kick you guys out of my house? No, just kidding. My son is making noise. So, anyways, moving forward. This next segment coming up is our point of prayer, our prayer point. It is really important that we always highlight the source of our power, especially here in Aisle 7 the podcast, is that which is higher than us. And we stand on that understanding, Jah the Almighty. If you don't get that from us, man, we're doing something wrong. We are blessed and fortunate to have a platform such as Aisle 7, the podcast, to speak our truth and reach people like you who watch this or listen to us. So we're going to dive into prayer point and ask God to really reveal to us what he wants us to share. So, yeah. You have anything to say before we jump in?
Yeah, just meditate in it and the thoughts, whether if it's, you know, whatever it is, just really dive in and just really think about it and just stay positive.
Okay. So we're going to start prayer point now, and we'll have you in our thoughts and prayers.
Yes.
Begin. Okay, I feel calm and clear.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I still can't find my damn Nerf gun. I don't know what the hell the kids did with it. But at this point, I'd be shooting, you know, the camera, one for the haters. So without it, here we go. Click, clack, boom, one for the haters. But, you know, once again, we're ahead of schedule. I don't know what the hell we're missing. I think it's just the PI scene.
Yeah, that's about it. But we're not missing anything.
Yeah, so in the meantime, covering the time before our first break, I would like to shout out Superfly Sua Podcast,
thank you so much.
Brother Sam Sua, and Tufa Tassi down at the Superfly Sua Podcast. Hey, man, we love you guys.
Love
thank you.
You
guys for
thank
the feature.
You for tonight.
We pray, you know, so much success and opportunity in your guys' future, man.
Yes.
If you're not aware of who they are, I'm pretty sure you are already by now, but they're a very prominent podcast in the Pacific Islander community. You know, what Sua's doing and Tufa is really, it's uplifting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have anything to say?
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I just want to wish nothing but the best on whatever your heart desires.
Yes,
and just like we had our talk tonight, I just want to tell you guys, man, just keep doing it, man, and just encouraging people out there. You know, be blessed, a blessing, like you said earlier, you know, you just want to be a blessing to others, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you guys again for the opportunity. And would look forward to, you know, to do that again.
Yeah. I think one thing I took away from being on their podcast was that, like, growth everywhere in the community is happening.
Yeah.
Try not to miss out. Because if you feel like you're not growing, look at your circle around you. And see who's pushing you and see who's not for you. You know what
I'm
saying?
Your surrounding is very important as well. So you got to be able to put something, not just be there just to be there. You know, we got to...
Yeah.
Come with something, you know. So
yeah, definitely support anybody local. First of all, in your city or state, wherever you're from. I mean, if you, it doesn't have to be a podcast. It can be any kind of form of business.
Yeah.
I know for us, you know, specifically out here in Las Vegas, Nevada, that podcasting's still new, but we are trying to help build a grounds of for a career that people can choose to jump into this field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a form of entertainment. And information, so, you know, it's a little bit of news and current updates and pop culture, but at the end of the day, everybody has their different genres, so, like, our podcast isn't the same as Superfly Sewell's podcast, but, you know, we can gravitate towards each other and collaborate and make opportunities for everybody, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Superfly Sewell Podcast.
Thank you again.
Sua, Tufa, you know, I love you guys very much.
Love you guys.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, is there anything you want to... say or talk about before we're really ahead right now?
Just, you know, we are open for sponsors and feedbacks. Doesn't matter, just tune in and just, you know, just tell us what you think. So
yeah, also, oh, you know what, I got something on my mind. Follow my cousin Govnotic Go Crazy, my cousin Vailiki. Follow his Instagram, his social media page. He's also on TikTok. I'll have that somewhere around here once I find the links and put it up properly. But Govnotic Go Crazy, my cousin Vailiki. That guy got some funny-ass content. And, you know, I've known bruh since I was little.
He has a podcast?
No, he has he has content. He's an influencer.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's funny. You got to check his shit out. It's really funny. So definitely check him out. Govnotic Go Crazy.
Oh, and also our shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Shout out. Lincoln Moore Art. I'll have that somewhere here too. And Juicy Finale.
Yes.
New
yes,
Era Savage.
Thank you, Savage.
We rocking, baby.
Yes.
I don't know, but I'm just hyped. I'm hyped. So,
yes.
So. Lincoln
thank
Moore.
Thank you guys for the shirts.
And Juicy Finale. We support you guys.
Yes.
So, yeah. With that being said, coming to our first break, go ahead and slow down your driving, focus on your cleaning, get you something to drink and snack on. We're going to jump right into the discussions when we come back.
Yes.
So go ahead and do that, and we'll be here when you get back. All right, guys. Hey, guys. Jumping into our discussion. Our seven subjects for today. Number one, discipline is not traditional, part two. Number two, experience versus studies. Number three, babysitter risks for single parenting. Number four, civil war might be the change. Number five, using divorce as a weapon. Number six, changed for the better. Number seven, theorist, theoretician, or theoretics. What would you like to speak on?
Let's tap into discipline because we already talked about it.
Yeah, since our last.
So yeah, on our last one. So.
So if you are aware, go ahead and get some context going back to episode two about discipline is not traditional, part one. But basically, what me and my wife were speaking on, because we felt like we didn't get enough time to cover most of the subject. But what we were speaking on was that we believe the violence in our culture is learned behavior from white colonizers or European settlers who came to our island and pretty much influenced us that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And me and my wife were just getting into the discussion, and we were getting deep until the time that we had went, you know, pretty much was done. But yeah, do you believe that the violence in our culture comes from white colonization?
Yes, I really do think that, because to be honest with you, continuing on from what we said last episode, I was saying how growing up in Tonga, there was no such thing as discipline. You just got beat, and then they kind of just went on with
it,
you know?
No understanding.
But I feel like, and this is just me, you know, so don't take this as like me telling you to believe it. I'm just going off by what I think happened was there was much more that we had back in the days, and a lot of this white, you know, or the different people that was back in the island kind of took it as a threat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Coming off of our people. Yeah. So I feel like there was no such thing as discipline, but because we were so, I guess, different, you know, I guess that's what it was. So they kind of turned that to kind of manipulating us, you know what I mean? And that's just me saying, like, you know, this is what you do with your kids. And I mean, we don't even have such thing as timeout or anything like that, but we do have the beating. Anybody in the island can beat you, and
the neighbor
can beat you,
the
school,
the homeless guy.
Yeah, no, but I'm serious. And then the parents,
there's no homeless people in I'm just saying,
some parents would just go with it, and the parents that you know are just like, nah, that's not normal. Yeah. You're not gonna touch my kids. What the heck? So I think in a way, it over the years they kind of carried on with kind of like just going off by what they left back there, but not knowing. Kind of like, I'm sorry to say this, but almost kind of like they kind of like mastermind us. You know what I mean? So, what do you think?
Okay, so I definitely hear what you're saying. And if it was like an envious thing that they beat us because they didn't have what we have, I totally get it. I think on my personal opinion, and I spoke with this about with my boy Johnny Valens. Shout out to Johnny Valens and the Johnny Valens podcast. We had a brief meeting, and we were talking about it, me and him, about how we subscribe as Pacific Islanders, specifically the Tongan culture, to disciplining, the form of discipline which inhibits abuse, because of the churches. And the churches came and they brought it by way of Christianity to the islands, and they introduced, you know, hitting with the sticks or disciplining with a belt, you know, just these things, paddles and stuff like that, when you would do something wrong, right? And then they would take that from the school, the church schools, and take it home. And then they would teach, and that just became systematically plugged into the culture, that we just thought it was normal to do that. Mm. The part that hurts us, why this is not traditional, was the lack of understanding. Why are you beating me, Mom? Why are you beating me, Dad? And it was like, well, in the church, we learn and we teach to do these things. And I'm sorry that that sounds like a joke, but I'm just saying as that is an example experience. That's what will happen because, you know, Jesus doesn't like this, and I'm going to beat you so you don't do the evil things.
Yeah, and what I got from that too is that not having to explain himself.
Yeah, because, you know, because God they, and Jesus.
No, but what I'm saying is that they put it in our mind to thinking like beating is okay, because even our people to this day don't sit us down and explain.
Yes.
You know, but we kind of just went along with like, don't do that. But I think our people was very, very smart to not to get into trouble. Does this make sense?
Yeah, I think what's funny is the two places you will for sure see a Tongan kid get hit at is church and school.
Yeah.
And those are institutions that are meant to help the people.
And I hate to say this, but our people back home, they're under law so much that it's they condemn themselves. And you know, I'm not throwing them out that way to make them, you know, out to be like, they just unaware, you know what I mean? And just lack of understanding, so.
What my wife is speaking on as far as the law, our mentor had taught us that,
shout out to you know, mentors.
In the Bible, it's pretty much divided in the law and grace. And where the law comes in was that those people at that time were serving under the law because Moses brought in the commandments.
Mm.
What God figured out was that humans cannot fulfill the law. It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
You'd have to lead a perfect life without sin. Mm-hmm. So he sent his only son, Jesus, you know, the Lamb of Grace, to come and save us by sacrificing himself because he fulfilled the law and said to sin no more, to love each other. And that was it. And, you know, our people are still living in that time period that they think they can fulfill the law.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what they think. I'm just saying that's what it seems, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and all my years of my life growing up back home was that we were so much under the law. Like, if you do this, I'm going to beat you. Oh, God
is watching.
He's watching you. Or, like, I got to beat you up to go to church because you can't miss a day of church. And I used to be that type. You remember? Like, I used to kind of, like, say those things.
That law mind.
Yeah, my mind was so, like, on it. So I guess what I'm basically trying to get at as far as disciplining is that I don't think our people even came up with that, you know?
So. I definitely agree. I think that was my personal opinion, that form of discipline came through by way of the church integrating into our culture. So Christianity, I would say, is the reason for that form of abuse in our culture.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that.
I'm good with it.
Okay, so that was Discipline is Not Traditional, part two. What I would like to speak on is changed for the better. And what I basically mean by that is sometimes our own circles don't realize we have made a drastic change in ourselves, because when we remove ourselves from those circles, they see it as like a, you know, I'm speaking personally from my own experience and my own truth, that when my friends saw me not come around as much anymore was because I was going through a change that I drastically needed. And when it's for the better, you won't know until you're happy and it no longer requires you to be around those people or those influences or those friends. And why I wanted to highlight that is being here in Vegas, and I'm not talking about anybody specifically, but for the Pacific Islander community, it's really hard to change because everybody sees you. And the only way you can do that is you got to remove yourself to where like nobody sees you anymore and everybody just thinks you're a weirdo or you just moved. You know what I'm saying? Do you get that?
Yeah. No, I get that completely.
Yeah.
It's funny that you brought that up because even before even before a whole change was, I think people already separated themselves from us, not because they saw a change, but because they weren't just, we were just so open the way we were with everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
not, but yeah. But personally, what I'm saying is that even for me now, like, because I change, I see the change on other people. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you're not changed. Of course, you're always going to affiliate yourself with people who's not willing to change.
Yeah.
So I think for me is that I'm realizing that myself alone, I'm talking to people that I've friended before, but almost kind of our relationship is in a different level. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it's not even about, oh, I'm cool with this person because this person. No, it's not even about that. I've always been the type of person that I care about my surrounding, you know? And it's hard because, like my husband said, sometimes you can come off as like, oh, they think they're better than you, you know? But when they say, I believe when they say like-minded people, you got to surround your people with like-minded people. Do. Because the thing is like, your bragging may sound like you're you're trying to brag. But really, it's just you speaking the truth and what you've experienced. You know what I mean? So even now, man, I'm dealing with it now too. Like, there's just to a point where like, even the close family, you know what I mean? And I'm not speaking in like, direct to somebody. It's just like, even now, it's like,
it, just from your experience.
Yeah, from my experience, is that I'm finding new relationship and a better relationship with other people. You know what I mean? So that's what I got from it.
Thank you for that. I'm gonna speak on my behalf as far as from my experience. A friend of mine's recently from back in the day came by and stopped by and visited me, and you know the amount of awareness and attention I got from him was like, dude, man, you changed, but you changed for the better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that hit me hard. I tried not to get emotional because, you know, it's weird to cry in front of my boys from back in the day. But and he knows who he is the minute he hears this. He came into my home and, he, you know, he met all four of my kids and he met, you know, he knew my wife. But, you know, to see him, like my wife cooked him breakfast, man. And he was just like astounded that I had received all this in my time of being away from where I was from in California. And for him to see that, to see my growth and recognize it and acknowledge it, it made me feel fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he had to validate me, but I'm saying it in a way it did validate me because he knew how far removed I was from my potential. And I changed for the better by removing myself out of that
comfort zone.
That never-ending cycle of change. I was just the same person every day. For speaking on my wife, I'm not telling her story. I'm just saying my wife was with a group of people. She went to a church, and there's no shout, no knock to those people, but like she wasn't. I didn't see no growth there because she was always constantly looked at as this type of person, right? This person that is this and that, and always ridiculed. And I don't need to put out the people who said those things about her, but like she removed herself, and like the people that from back in the day are now coming back into her life and acknowledging her for her change. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What do you have to say about that?
All I have to say about that is glory to God. Amen. You know, and it's crazy because like this is nothing new.
There's a lot of doubters.
Yeah, it's just that it's been there. I'm just waking up to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for anybody who's out there who's still sleeping, please wake up, you know? Because, like, really, the surrounding is everything, you know what I mean? And that's what I mean. You won't see somebody's change unless yourself is changing or trying to push or move up to the top. You know what I mean? Because if you're always surrounding yourself with the same old people, you guys are always going to say, oh, we're changing, but you guys are still on the same level. You know what I mean? So you really got to look at, like, open-minded people, like-minded people, so that way you can see the change.
You almost got to go to a place unfamiliar.
Yeah, or uncomfortable. Almost, you know? Uncomfortable as well. Because feeling uncomfortable is a good thing.
And you can't take those people with you, man.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, only you can do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like I said, by changing for the better, man, we've come a long way, babe.
Yeah. Thank you for that. No, I just want to, you know, finish that out by saying, like, you know, sometimes constructive criticism, you need that. Even if it's coming from the person you love very much or you respect, for them to push you to leave. You know what I'm saying? Even if it hurts, that might be the single most thing that changes you is that stuff they said about you. So, you know, with that being said, if you're going through that right now or if you're experiencing that or know somebody who's going through that, just support them by when they reach out to you or communicate with you, just talk to them. But don't so much as to put yourself into their life if they're trying to purposely distance themselves from you, because they need that metamorphosis. They need that change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, is that
yeah, good with good. That?
Okay, that's so we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we will continue the discussion, and we'll focus in on some really good content here.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying this. Love you.
Love you.
son, you need to get your ass and go lay down. All right, guys, go get some water or something. Hello, guys. Jumping back into the discussion, we have experience versus studies, babysitter risks for single parenting, civil war might be the change, using divorce, and theorists, theoreticians, or theoretics. Well, did you choose? No, I chose. So you go ahead and choose. I chose.
The babysitter risk for single, what is
parenting.
That? Yeah, parenting.
So I saw a disturbing video earlier this week. This single mom works two jobs and her shifts barely allow her to be home and rest. So, you know, she only has 2 days off, I believe. And I just seen it on World Star. And she had this feeling that her baby was being abused. So she left her camera on at home. And the videos she found of her nanny was disturbing. I'll just tell you like this. That nanny was beating the shit out of that baby. And the baby was only 2 years old. Could, you know, barely walk, you know, motor functional skills, and could even barely talk. But this grown ass human being woman is beating the shit out of the child like it's an adult. And why I wanted to talk about this, we have a lot of friends that are single parents, and it's hard for us sometimes to understand, especially me and my wife, how they could trust anybody to watch their kids. I mean, I'm not just saying anybody. Of course, it's people they know and associate themselves with. But just in general, how you could drop a kid off to just somebody who you have to trust is going to watch them for the next 8 to 12 hours while you're working. So, yeah, that video was disturbing. I didn't get a chance to show you, but as far as in context, yeah, the nanny was beating the shit out of this child. How do you feel about that, about single parenting?
Man, if anybody know, especially you, babe, I don't care how close I am to you. I think the closest I've...
No disrespect.
Yeah, and this is not me coming off insensitive.
It's just the mother, it's a mother's intuition.
Is I've always had this because growing up, I didn't grow up with my parents, you know, physically there. So I was kind of like basically passed around within my aunts and uncles, and they love me very much, you know. I shout out to them, but it was just a thought of knowing that anything could have happened, you know what I mean? I think for me, what I've always stretched out, and you know what, man, like, I know some moms out there and some fathers out there, they gotta make end meets, but to be honest with you, I'd rather be homeless than finding a video like that at the end of my shift. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's almost kind of like, to be honest with you, like, me and my family have been so blessed that I was able to find a job staying home. And be home,
God.
You know, and I give him all the glory with that because I get to babysit my kids, you know what I mean? So for me, you know, just he don't even have to show me the videos, and you already know,
yeah,
like for me is like, how could, like, I know there's single parents out there are desperately needing babysitter.
Because they want to
provide. You know, but they want to provide.
Yeah.
The sad thing about that is that we do understand that. But man, I don't
just can't take that risk.
I can't tell you, like, even family members too, you know what I mean? Cuz the thing is, even though that video was out there like that, it could have been an aunt. It could have been a family member, you know?
Yep.
So the thing is, for me, it's just I'd rather be the one blaming if anything happened to my kids.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I
don't want to live the rest of my life blaming someone else. You know, because out of the desperation that I gotta provide, you gotta work something out, and I don't know how you gotta do it, but I'm so sorry. It's just too much of a risk to do that. You know what I mean? And I think that's one of the reasons why my mom had to send us back home, is that she saw a better chance of us out there than it was out here. You know what I'm saying? So it's just hard. Yeah, that's what what do you think?
So, my point of view on this is, it's hard because I know how I feel about that. I'm totally against it. But it's like, at the same time, being a single parent,
I can't blame them for making that decision because it's what's convenient to them.
Exactly.
You know, it's easy for me to sit up here and be like, man, I wish single parents didn't do that. But
what
else do they have when, you know, the mom, the baby mother or the baby father skips out on them and they have to make these tough choices or tough decisions? I can't do that. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's why I work better together with my partner than I do alone. And, you know, when I watch that video and I just look at this woman beating this child, it's almost like it's sickening because it seems like she's doing it out of frustration. She, you know, going back to the whole discipline, this is not a discipline, by the way. This is, she's abuse. Openly just abusing the child, but like not explaining to the kid. Like she, at one point in the video, she grabs a sheet and tries to tie it over the kid's head and swing him. And I'm like, my heart breaks. I want to cry, but it's like, you know, these are the repercussions of when we trust random people or whoever these people are as a single parent to watch our children and babysit them. And I don't fault that mother in that video for doing that. It's just, it hurts when you find out the money you're paying a person to watch your child is not only going to waste, but you could possibly be paying the person who's doing damage to your child. And I just can't fathom how that's normalized, but you know, I pray that more understanding and opportunities come to those single parents who can find a better situation for their children, because that's unacceptable in this society.
Yeah, and just to clear it up, yeah. I don't mean it as like I knock them for what they gotta do, yeah. But man, it's one of those things where like you just gotta be careful with who you trust and who you build a relationship with, because you know sometimes it could be a good person, you know what I mean, and then bam, it switched, they get frustrated and you know what I mean, just like that video that you saw. So I just want to tell you guys, to all the single parents out there, man, like just be careful, man.
Yeah, so we're praying for you. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, me too.
So moving forward, I'm gonna jump on this because this is pretty easy, but we said it before on episode 1 season 2, civil war might be the change that this society is looking for. And when I say that, it's because the rise in white versus black is growing dramatically, and it's like tensions are boiling over. Eventually, I don't know how my wife feels, but I support black people just going to full out war with their oppressors and the people that are hating on black people. The reason why I say it, like, I'm not trying to say I'm excluding me and my people, the Pacific Islanders. I'm saying that because we haven't faced that kind of discrimination they faced, besides the Polynesian Panthers of New Zealand. But we're just ready to support, honestly, because these videos I watch every day is just killing me to see more and more black people being just dealt with this way by the police and just communities of white people, and nothing's still being done about it. You know, Breonna Taylor's killers are still out there. The guy with the anemia who had the mask on in Colorado, his killer's still out there. Ahmaud Arbery's people are still not being dealt with. It's just, it doesn't take this long to make a decision. So civil war might just be the answer. And honestly, I'm all for it. What do you feel about that?
I mean, I see your point, but you
there's
know
no
me.
More peace. There's no more time for peace.
I see exactly where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I'm not disagreeing with that. All I'm saying is that at this point, I'm not saying we're losing hope, but it's like, when are they going to stop?
Yeah, when is you know it going mean? To stop?
Is when it ever is going it gonna to stop? Or like, you know, because we have these people are just so hateful. Like, people just doing stupid videos on social media about certain things, and it's just, it doesn't stop.
Yeah, and so, this is just pertaining back to the whole racism of police brutality and white and black people, and like, how we're standing outside on the sidelines. It's not like we're not trying to do anything, but it's about time somebody did something. So
I'm not for the violence. I'm not about that. It's just that, like, honestly, and this is not me saying like Pacific Islanders are better than black people. I'm just saying we have nothing else to lose. You might as well just go for it, you know what I mean? Because if you're not doing anything, it's just gonna be something that is just not gonna change. And it's been happening for how many years now, you know? So I'm with that. Like I feel that they should really, really go for that, because like I said, they're gonna keep going and going and going. So
okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So going to experience versus studies, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
So experience versus studies, basically what this is like people who believe you have to have a diploma, a degree, some sort of certification or license to elaborate your mind or your opinions that might possibly prove a theory into a fact, right? Because nobody wants to hear anybody who's speculating who didn't even graduate high school, but should they be right, they just dismiss them. But if you have these degrees and all these things and you're not even aware of these subjects, you know, it's questionable. So what I'm basically saying is fact checking is crazy because people want to see your background before you give your opinion and who validated you. What do you feel about that?
Oh, man, I totally agree that with that. Right. The reason why I say that is because nowadays they don't even look at your background. It's who you know.
Yeah, anybody can validate.
It's who you know to even get a job. You know what I mean? Or now people who actually go for degree, I don't knock them for that because I myself never finished college, but what are you doing with that degree?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm saying you can have like a mouthpiece, but if you're not in the area that you want to study for, what are you really doing with it? You know what I mean? And you know what? By all means, education is very important, but please use it. Like, don't just go to school and then
waste it.
You know what I mean? And then you put up this thing like where you gotta talk on something and dive deep into it. Just what? Because you wanna show that you have a degree. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's my input in it. So
no, thank you for that. I mean, I totally am in agreement with that. For me personally, I will say this. So I didn't graduate high school. I got a high school diploma and went to junior college. But going to junior college, I realized one thing. I learned more in college than I did in high school. And not only that, there are more subjects to learn than there is in high school. And it's actually better subjects to learn about that are actually applicable to your life than high school regular public education. Case in point, I learned more in African American history, Chicano history, Japanese American history in college than I did in actual world and U.S. history in high school. And it's sad because I had to go to college to learn that. But sad part is you have to pay to go to college. You get a free public education that doesn't teach you shit.
Yeah.
For some reason, nowadays, I run into people who I, you know, openly debate with who believe just because they have a degree or some sort of certification that they're validated in what they do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, the one thing that separates me from that person with a degree is I have more experience than you do in studies. Because you studied more, but you didn't do this shit in the field as far as like going out there and actually putting it to work.
And I haven't really done a research on this, but I know a lot of people out there who just go to school and study in that area because they were either pushed to do so, and it wasn't by choice.
Say it.
Does it make sense?
Oh, you're right.
It's like kind of like
no passion.
Yeah, no passion in it. You did it either
because they paid for it. Your parents paid for it.
You don't want to upset your parents, or you go for it because you don't want to. Like you don't, because everybody's already talking about you going to college and all of that stuff, and the fact that you got a degree now, you're the whole talk in that community because you finished school and all that stuff. Trust me, I have a lot of, you know what's so crazy? Now that you brought that up, my older sister, she has a master in accounting. And the thing is like, she's really, really smart and she's in that area. But after 10 years of working in the bank, she doesn't work there no more. So my thing is, was your passion really in accounting or was it in something else? I know we get older and we got to make our own choice and we realize that there's some other things that change in our lives. But to be honest, for myself and my experience, my mom always wanted me to be a nurse.
Yeah.
And for all these years of my going to school and my experience. But I'll tell you what, that failed because that wasn't my passion. I didn't want to go to school. That was you wanting. That was your dream putting it in me. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And I feel like I have more to talk about now. And I didn't even finish college more than me going to school.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'll say about that, and I'll cut it here. Is that I have a problem with people elaborating Pacific Islander history to me who don't look like me, who don't sound like me, and don't know anything about me. But because you went and had a degree or some certification,
You're validated.
You're validated, but you've never been there. So.
Oh, man.
I just say that with this. Just do your own research. Like yes. we always say, do your own research and studies. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll all be okay there. So with yep. that being said, we're going to take another break, come back and finish the discussion.
Yeah.
So go and do your research
stay
and studies.
Stay close, man.
Yeah, okay. All right, guys. Fourth quarter, guys. Okay, so we have using divorce and theorists, theoretician, or theoretics left on the subjects.
Your turn. You're the one picking.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and pick theorist, yeah. theoretician, or theoretics. Basically, what this is a theory is basically an idea or a concept that has yet to be proven a fact. And I believe myself to be a theorist or a theoretician or in the study of theoretics. Regardless of the course in college, I don't need a degree for me to validate myself. I put enough time and energy into the same amount of studying as I do by myself studies than I do in a classroom, right? And I'm out there putting this to the test in my own experience. I'm out there having different conversations with people, going over different types of theories, like, you know, the theory of who were the first humans, or the theory of who really was Jesus and was he black, or the theory of like, our you know, Polynesians or Pacific Islanders, the original giants of the old world. You know, that's what that basically means as far as theorists, mm-hmm. theoretician, or theoretics. What do you get from that?
There's a lot. You know what? It's so crazy that you brought that up, because there's a lot of theory in my head at times. You know, I think about what we all in one big... I think about a lot of those things, you know? And even though... we don't have no proof. It's the fact that we even
to be proven.
Yeah, it's just the fact that we have the thought in our mind. Like, why we even come to that mindset? You know what I mean? Because it could be true. Yeah. There's a possibility that could be true, and I feel like there's a whole lot more that we still not yet to discover
yes.
in this world.
Oh yes, because, so much more.
Because the thing is, it's like it's meant to be that way. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying
yes,
to say?
Yes.
So
maybe there's just some things we're not meant to know.
Well, yeah, because then maybe life would be much easier. You know what I mean, or things like that. So what do you got?
So my whole thing is right. It bothers me that we know more about space than we do the ocean. We stated that in season one, like we don't go deep enough in our ocean because we don't have the proper technology or access to do that. But we can go as far as we want in space. And scientists are saying we can make travel to space, but we can't make travel deeper into the Earth or the ocean.
Yeah, that's true.
That bothers me because it's like the theory I would have on that is, well, what's down there that's not allowing us to go? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And why I would consider myself a theorist is I'm so interested in that I will put the research and the study time into that. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And not a lot of people see it that way. They just think I'm a crazy conspiracist guy. And everything I say or do is just crazy talk. But if I happen to say it before it happens, and then it becomes proven, regardless if I wasn't the one who said it happened and did the studies, all of a sudden I get this whole thing, man, you were right, bro. Remember that thing you said about? It's not that I was right. It's just I had a theory about it because it just didn't seem right to me. I just didn't put enough time and energy into studying the matter. So being a theorist basically is just proving an idea or a concept into fact. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, if I said that the Ha'amonga in Tonga is connected to Stonehenge or the pyramids of Giza in Egypt, you would look at me and like ask, how is that? And then I would have to put the research and study into proving that there is a connection regarding ley lines and, you know, the Bermuda Triangle and giants. But that's just theorizing.
Hey, that right there, that is a
whole nother discussion.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so.
No, when we did our research on that,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was, that's a possibility. That's why I feel like there is some truth to it, you know?
The problem with theoretics is people correlate it too much with science.
Yeah.
Theoretics doesn't just belong to science because guys like Plato and Socrates or Socrates, they were presenting theories that hadn't even been proven yet.
Yeah, like almost kind of like, the theory that I told you about, how we might have had those people, and the when the white came to the island, you know, they might have seen something that they're not sharing
it's
yet.
It's a
to
theory
this day,
because we
you know?
Can't prove it yet.
We can't prove it, but it's just in my mind to think that you guys might have seen something way, way before.
Yes.
Because for some reason, you guys just left in, at peace. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like you took what you needed
from us. You took what you needed, and then you just left.
That's a theory. That's a theory. So the question would be, what is it that they take?
Yeah.
And then we would have to prove that
or
they
what
did
is
take
it that
something.
They know. You know what I mean? So, it's things like that that I thank you because I've always had it in me where I think like that. But I can see why people would think it's crazy because you have no proof. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, totally. So that's basically what I was just trying to present. So I'm good with that.
I'm okay with it.
Okay, good. So, yeah, theoretics. Jump into it, man. I mean, you know, if you have some ideas or concepts of your own, man, just try to do your best to research and study it before it becomes a fact. So, anyways, moving on. Using divorce. And what I mean by using divorce, almost trying to use it as a weapon to hurt your spouse. You know, if me and you separated and I used the kids to get to you in order to live the lifestyle that I wanted to, that's a fucking dick move. That's a jerk move. That's an asshole move. That is fucked up.
Yeah.
But I do it to not only make myself happy, I even use the kids. I pretty much hurt everybody in this relationship because I divorced to make sure that I'm happy. And I don't give a fuck in regards to whoever I hurt. Using divorce in that manner is totally wrong. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think any type of word of like, even as simple as like, I'm going to leave you. You know what I mean?
Trying to say it.
It's
to
trying
hurt
to like not even hurt.
You're not gonna leave, but you're just saying it
saying
to make them
it. Yeah,
bow down.
It's almost kind of like you're. What are you threatening me? You know what I mean? Because I'll be honest, and we're not innocent to that. Because we used to do that in the beginning. We would say that you would say it to me. I would say it to you, and it'll be like
it's not something to play
yeah,
with.
And it'll be like you don't understand how powerful you just said what you said because you almost kind of like speak it into. To
existence.
Yeah, existence. So when you say those things, it's almost kind of like saying like, oh, you better get it together because if not, we're going to have a divorce.
Damn.
But that's just a way.
That's using divorce.
Yeah,
here,
you, yeah, because the thing is, it's like it almost hushed the other person. You know, but
what do you mean?
Yeah, because I used to be like, wait a minute. What are you really trying to say? Are you saying that you're not good here? You know what I mean? So I really do think that using those words or using a way of trying to take the kids or trying to do any of those in that sense is almost kind of like you're using the divorce to scare the other person.
Yeah.
If you're going to say that the other person is the love of your life, why doing that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like for me personally, if you're waiting to divorce a person because you made a promise to someone in your life or your friends or your family, and then they, you know, they pass away, they're no longer with you or around you, and then you decide to divorce the person you've been with for as long as you've possibly known them, that's a bitch move. You know what I'm saying? To make that decision, you don't even realize who you're hurting in your circle. Like, the kids first and foremost, if you have any, you know, the family that got invested to that spouse of yours, and then on top of that, the friends that really looked out for you those years, you throw that all away because you want to use divorce as a form to make somebody be in fear of you.
Yeah, like I have an example, and I only speak on this because
it's no names.
But when I was very little, of course my parents got divorced, and you know I've came to a realization that I can have a relationship with both of them from afar.
Shout out to my father-in-law,
you know?
And my mother.
And the thing was that I never understood at that time. I realized, I always ask myself, like, why did my mom send us home? You know what I mean? She did that because she was trying to use it to have my dad stay around. You know, and as much as, I'm not trying to, like, put my parents out there, but I'm free saying those. Because it's the honest truth, is that as much as my mom and my dad deny those things, is that you really sent us back home to scare him, to have him stay around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, it's sad to see moms and dads out there do that. Like, why doing that? You're only hurting one person. You're not hurting each other. You're hurting the kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, in what I'm basically saying is that in that experience alone, it's almost kind of like that's really like
a low move.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? If you're gonna have a divorce, do it the best way you can. You know. Yeah.
I think one thing that bothers me is when people say to sign the prenup, because you're already agreeing that this might not work out. So just in case, I'm going to protect myself. And no relationship should ever have a feeling of repercussion. Like, if I didn't trust that me and my wife were going to work out, I shouldn't be messing with this situation. Yeah. But because I mess around with a group of people going back to, you know, change for the better, the influences could come around me like, hey, sign that prenup.
Yeah.
And that's another form of how divorce could come about. Like, it could happen. Another example is like, you wait to tell everybody that things were already bad just to validate the reason why a divorce should happen.
Yeah.
Like, she was beating me or I was beating her and now I think it's time for divorce. But the kids are already teenagers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense why you would make that decision not thinking of who you're affecting. Yes, it's dependent on your happiness. Yes, I agree. Both sides should be happy. But when you're doing it at a time that doesn't make sense and it's not only inconvenient, but it's a means to you to hurt somebody with it, that's fucked up.
Yep. That is, man. In this world, it's like that. You know what I mean? It's normalizing it. To a point where, yeah. Like, young couple don't even get married. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, the young couple just see
it's
it as
being
like
normalized.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of couple won't even get married because they're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
But even at that, they're not getting married because they're saying, for what? We're already together. So it's almost kind of like saying, for what? If it doesn't work out, you're basically already calling it out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So. There's a lot of ways in that way of that we can use, you know.
I think what's sad is that we're in a new day and age with technology as far as social media. And when the community gets in on the whole, you know, divorce thing.
Yeah.
It's sad, right? Because everybody has an opinion. Everybody has their two cents they want to present. And the thing that absolutely sucks about that is if that's how you felt the whole time, why didn't you say something about it to help defend that woman or that man in the relationship? You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just a low blow in general. If you divorce somebody because you know it will hurt them and it's like a way of getting back at them, you're evil. Marriage is meant to symbolize the union between two people under God. And if you're playing with that, don't be surprised the things that come back into your life to haunt you. Because me and my wife definitely agree that if this didn't work out in the first place, God would have told us. You know what I'm saying? But God willing, man, we're thriving. And I love you.
Man, yeah. And you know what? And this is just, we're still going. It's been 11 years that we've been together. And we speak that over us, that there is no divorce in this. Even other couple, yeah. We speak that because we believe that if you come in agreement, whether if you guys started up like getting married first or whatever the case may be, is the understanding of knowing that two people were meant to be together. And yes. Once your covenant, when your covenant is under God, it works out however way. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but speak life into your marriage. You know what I mean? Then just keep speaking those things because we've already won. We win already regardless. So.
Yeah. If you're trying to use excuses like, you know, it's just for the kids and stuff like that.
Don't do that.
Don't. Prioritize yourself as a person and someone you love yourself when you love yourself. Because that other person will love you just as much as you love yourself. Then the kids come after.
Yeah.
I think I'm not for divorce. I don't support it. You know, I understand some certain relationships need divorce. But what we're talking about is people who glorify divorce as a way to get out. Because they don't want to work through it.
Or they're just giving up. I'm good with that.
I'm good. Well, that's been another installment of Aisle 7, the podcast. This is episode 3. And once again, we just would like to make some mentions and shout outs. We still need some sponsors.
Yes.
So if you'd like, you know, us to advertise your product, hey, we're here. I'm Savage Island. This is my wife. So yeah, we'd like to shout out everybody who supports us. Thank you guys so much. We do not take that lightly. We just appreciate the feedback. And Final Feast, do you have anything to say before we go?
Yes, stay in your season.
Saying it.
Stay in your season and just, you know, stay strong, man.
Yeah, man. And, you know, if she's not getting, you know, wet, lubrication is a good way of having a good intercourse experience. So lubricate. Well, that's been another installment once again. For me and my wife, to you guys and our son, above all else,
Jobless! Woo! Thank you.